Welcome to Nicest Nation. I am your host, Jason. Please remember to like, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. It really helps us out, and it helps us to reach more listeners. Welcome back to Nicest Nation. I'm your host, Jason, and today we have an awesome show. We have Chaz Estrada. Chaz, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, man?
Well, my name is Chaz. I work for Nicest Corporation. I am super honored to be in this studio. It looks honestly like we're in some sort of professional, like Paramount Studios, and we're actually just in our marketing department. This is really, really amazing to see the kind of breaking the fourth wall, I guess, if you will, for my first time here. But I hail from Southern California. Sorry to use the C word on the air. No, not always the most popular state, but I love where I live. It's been a pretty crazy journey. Moved to Arizona, moved back to California. You know, happy wife, happy life. And I've just always been that weird bug kid that likes collecting and identifying and just observing and, you know, being able to pass that education on to somebody else, whether or not they ask for the information or not. But yeah, I mean, I've found my home in the pest control industry, and I don't think I'm ever leaving. I'm definitely not ever leaving ISIS. And I hope I can reflect on this video in 20 years, 30 years, and be like, man, that's where it started, you know? And so, again, just super excited to be here, and I just appreciate the opportunity to talk to the people.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I am glad you're here. I know you started maybe a few months after I came on board, so and I didn't know you at the time. They're like, oh, this social media guy's coming on. I was like, what? So, I mean, you have a long, I guess, I don't know how long it is, but a pretty good background in social media and influencer. If you want to go into a little bit of that, of how you got here.
Yeah, man, it's been, I like to say I've had a long, short career. So I started in 2015 for a company in Anamite, or in California called Anamite. Recently sold, but sold to Terminix. So it was a Terminix acquisition even when I worked there. And back then, you know, cell phone technology, I mean, was nowhere near where it is now. I mean, it's still pretty good back in 2015. But the cameras, you know, the probably like 2 to 3 megapixels, right? And so you're getting videos. I mean, YouTube existed. That space was already kind of happening. But there wasn't really like exterminator info, you know, if you will. And I hate to use the E word, but there wasn't a whole lot of pest control every day, people out doing their jobs. So I started, and these videos still exist out in the ether somewhere. But I have a ton of videos of me doing inspections, finding things in crawl spaces, and they're pretty grainy. They're not the greatest quality. But that was just me kind of entering the frontier that is pest control, learning about the industry for the first time, and not just, you know, learning abstract facts about bugs, but actually, you know, why they're there, what the conducive conditions were, what the remediation might have been. And I decided to just record it all. And I tell everyone, you know, I get tagged as the social media person. And like, while I would love to wear that badge, you know, I think it's misappropriately attached to me. And I think it's because I haven't really earned it, if you will. And I say that because I'm one of the only people that posts, right? Everyone that I come across, you know, the story is the same. Like, oh man, I wish I could do what you do. Or I wish that, you know, I was more active on LinkedIn or, you know, YouTube, wherever it happens to be. And it's really not that hard. You know, you just got to start. And that's all I did, is I just started, and I never really stopped. And, you know, there's probably a lot of content out there that people scroll straight past because it's not really interesting stuff. But it was me trying to learn based on the metrics and the feedback of those posts. Did it do well? Did it not? You know, and it's really as simple as that. You know, you don't really have to have a degree in marketing. You know, all that stuff helps, dude. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, social media, I think, is one of those things that you can legitimately, you know, earn. I mean, look at the influencers that are out there, you know, I mean, tens of millions of dollars, right? And so if your job is to connect with as many people as possible, the internet is probably the greatest avenue to get out and really meet and expand your network. And so I've just always leveraged that.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, the one thing about social media is it's so different on your, in your approach to marketing, you know, because like anyone, like teenagers making millions of dollars off of like TikTok,
yep,
which is crazy to me, you know. I joke around, my kid plays Fortnite, And I'm always telling him, you know, I'm going to set you up a channel. You love playing it.
Dude.
You know, you have the smack talk down. So I'm going to set you up because it's hilarious to listen to you talk to people saying, you know, I'm him. I'm, you know, I'm built different.
And it's second nature. It's what they grew up with. I was actually just talking to Mark Manning earlier, one of our wood scientists. And I mean, I set up his Ethernet for him, hooked up his internet. You know, he heard me typing in the corner. I was working on something. He's like, man, you type really fast. And those are things that I take for granted as a millennial. Like, I just, all that technology piece just comes natural. But the social media aspect, these kids, my daughter is a huge consumer of YouTube. And, you know, you always say, like, I'm not going to be the tablet parent. And, well, we're not tablet parents. My daughter still finds ways. I mean, YouTube is on our television. You know, it's on my computer. It's on her laptop, right? So she still has access to these social media outlets. Obviously, we moderate them. But she is growing up with understanding, you know, probably how these algorithms are going to work, you know, what it takes to go viral even. I think that next generation of PMP, I see it already in the new business owners that I deal with out in Arizona and Utah. They have their own channels, you know, they're making their own equipment. They're not holding out and waiting for, you know, $10,000 cameras, $20,000 lenses, right? They're not waiting for the full camera crews and, you know, all of these extra resources that you think are used in production. Like, honestly, like, we have sitting around us, like, this is amazing. But these guys are starting their social media presence online with a cell phone, you know, with a DJI Osmo. You know, it's very low tech, but it really just takes you starting to begin. And I think that this next generation, you know, my generation even, is going to start to produce some really interesting marketing things that really pull away from, you know, spending insane marketing dollars on LSA or, you know, Google AdWords and things like that. I think there's going to be a shift.
Oh yeah, definitely. And speaking of cameras and stuff, something that a lot of people don't know is some films are actually made using an iPhone, which is crazy. You know, like, I was watching, I can't remember who it was. Some big producer or filmmaker, I would say, not really a producer. But he's like, all this, you know, he showed like a trailer or something for his film. And it was like, all of this was shot on the iPhone. I was like, what? Really? That's crazy.
That's, you know, super cool.
But I mean, that's the way we're going with technology. I mean, it's came so far that, you know, a iPhone has enough power that, you know, could replace a broadcast style camera, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I saw a wedding get shot on an iPhone. Beautiful photos, you know, people, I mean, you really don't want to, movies, you get a second chance at, you don't really get a second chance at a wedding. And so if you mess those photos up, you mess those videos up, I mean, you're going to be in some hot water with the bride and groom. But when I started, we had just those regular VHS tape camcorders, and you would have to pause it, you know, and then you would go take your next scene. And we would do like school projects, you know, shout out to Aaron and Chris, you know, my buddies, we used to make videos. But it was just a VHS, and you'd pause it, you'd go to your next scene, whatever it is, you know, you'd practice your lines real quick, and then you would hit record, and that would be the next part. It wasn't like video editing for us back then. You know, that's how we made little compilations. So yeah, the technology these days is staggering. And, you know, I mean, innovation just continues to drive how easy it is to make content.
Yeah, definitely. And also, not to take up everything on production, but I mean, AI is such a huge part of this, and you know firsthand about how important AI is.
yeah, we just shot This House Ain't Going Down, which is a number one. I think it was like number one on the billboards for, I think it's 2 weeks running now. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, again, AI is one of those things that people are resisting. And it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. You know, these next generations that grow up using these tools are going to blow us out of the water. Mm. You know, with them having access to AI from the beginning, you know, I use it as an extension of my own brain. You know, I think people mislabel AI as negative, or they're like, they don't trust it. And I get the don't trust part, because I mean, whatever goes on the internet, you know, is usually on there forever. But with AI, you know, using it as an extension of your own intelligence, I think that's the next step in human evolution even, right? You know, it makes us greater. It's the folks that are 100% dependent on it that basically Chat GPT or whatever, you know, platform you're using becomes your identity, you know, there, and Chat GPT is speaking for you. I think that's when, you know, becomes on, comes off as a little like not genuine or honest and, you know, a little like fugazi, if you will, you know? And so I think if you're using it as an extension, especially in the workplace, you know, I was actually just talking to Marty, one of our reps in Texas, about this, you know, I'm able to get more work done in the day than you are, and not you, Jason, but the average person who isn't using AI, right? And so I mean, that's the comparison that I like to think. And you know, the saying "work smarter, not harder" has been around forever, and I really think this is a work smarter, not harder type of situation.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to bugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were talking a lot. You said you were like kind of, you know, geeking out, nerding out on bugs and stuff. So what would you say is your favorite insect? And guys, if you hear people in the background, that just, it gets crazy around here in this department. So
like,
sorry.
I said, keep the illusion that we're in some studio secluded. But yeah, we're absolutely just in our second floor in Rockford, Tennessee, hanging out, making some content. But I would say my favorite bug isn't an insect. It's an arachnid. And you know, all the bug nerds are like, yeah, arachnids, right? Not insects. Then everyone else is like, shut up, nerd, right? but I would say spiders are probably where I go almost all the time. You know, I probably jump between, man, my favorite spiders, probably jumping spiders are the easiest for me to photograph. And so I get a lot of interaction with them because they're not that they're curious, but they'll hang out for a little bit before they jump away and they want nothing to do with you. Black widows is probably how I got my start. And that's really just because they're so easy to observe, right? And so they don't go anywhere. I mean, if you touch their web or something, they may, you know, jump into a hole and kind of recluse up a little bit, little antisocial of a spider. But outside of that, you know, the fast moving flying insects, things like that, it's a little harder to photograph or engage with them or learn about them because they're not static like a spider would be. So I'd say spiders I've always kind of been interested in. I mean, really, a lot of the sci-fi that I watched growing up, you know, the aliens, right? Starship Troopers is a big one. That resonates with our industry a ton. You know, there's definitely a like specific demographic of nerds, honestly, that kind of subscribe to pest control and sign on. But yeah, favorite bug, probably just all spiders.
All spiders. Well, gosh, spiders are such a weird thing, like, because I have a fear of some spiders, but I think that's because, you know, you're always told, like, especially in the South, we have the brown recluse, which is so small, and also they're called recluse for a reason. They try to stay away from people, but if you happen to get bitten, then it's very bad news. if you don't go immediately to get it taken care of. So I've always had a healthy fear of the brown recluse. I've actually found some in my house. And yeah. So, but that's the South for you. That's, you know, in Tennessee, it's normal to have brown recluses around the area. So,
and yeah, that's tough. And I'll be honest, I mean, part of the reason we moved out of Arizona was because of the scorpions. And my wife is just not, she supports my journey, right, in the pest control industry, but she does not like participating. And so, yeah, scorpions is a big one. So I can't even imagine if I don't think I could even mention brown recluse and her in the same sentence. It's not going to happen. So yeah, the moment we found one of those, that house would have been burnt to the ground. So, but yeah, I personally in California, you know, growing up, born and raised, we don't deal with the brown recluse. I think we have a desert recluse out there, but dermonecrosis is no joke, man. Yeah. I mean, you see some of those bites that people don't really address. And they get pretty gnarly.
I have no idea what that was.
I hope it was somebody hard at work and not falling off the roof. but yeah, you know, spiders is a tough one. I grew up arachnophobic. I'm still a little scared of spiders, if I'm being honest. And it's really just because they're so fast and they're small and they're hard to track at points. And if you take your eye off them, they're gone in a flash. But I've gotten a ton of exposure therapy from macro photography and kind of working up close and trying to get some pretty cool images. And the working distance on my lens is a few inches at best. I mean, when I'm really trying to get like an intense macro shot. So you kind of learn through your viewfinder that, like, hey, this thing isn't, you know, there's no malicious intent here. This thing doesn't try to get me, right? It probably doesn't even know that I'm a thing. You know, I'm a mountain, right? I imagine something our size looking down at us, right? You would be like, what is happening, right? So I kind of worked through some of the spider fear that way, just because I, you know, for probably like 3 years straight, I mean, anybody that's followed my macro stuff knows I was super active on it. And I've had like Andrew Sinevsky was like, dude, Chaz, you know, where you been? You must be real busy at NYSIS if you're not out there taking photos of spiders. And that's really the truth of it, man. This job is especially with the travel and engaging with, you know, different states and learning everybody's names and their dogs and their kids, right? I just have had to prioritize what I'm doing lately. And yeah, it's macro photography's taken kind of a backseat to some of the other content we've been making.
But man, your macro photography is spectacular. I remember, gosh, it's been, I think it was last year sometime, Lee came up and was like, you have to go down to the boardroom. Chaz has some of his photography here. You got to go check it out. And it was very impressive. Yeah.
It helps the ego too when you have, you know, friends that like really hype you up. And Lee is like, I mean, honestly, like one of my biggest fans. And I say that respectfully, but I mean, if you got the level of hype that I did from Lee, man, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy. And there's a ton of people, honestly, out there that have really helped me continue to push and keep working on this hobby and try and refine it because of the engagement that we get online. It's a ton of fun. And I really appreciate all the feedback.
Yeah. One thing, I'll piggyback off that. Lee Barrett is such a great leader. And he will, if you have an idea or you have something you're passionate about, he will push you. Like this podcast, you know, I came in with the idea and he's like, let's do a podcast. If you think you can do it, let's do it. And that's why I'm here. And Chaz, like you said, I mean, he's like, your photography's awesome. And it just helps you keep going, you know you have that backing. And it's Lee Barrett's awesome. What up, Lee?
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Lee. Yeah. And I'll also say that he's, and I'm not saying this because we were just on the topic of how, you know, we're kind of working on our own, you know, two talents, but Lee, I think one of his major just features as a person, you know, and like one of the things that he's really good at and it really makes him a strong leader is his ability to identify talent and people who are long-term going to be, you know, so much more or can bring so much value to whatever he's working on or what he thinks, you know, you can benefit the team or, you know, maybe not even, I would say like he's so genuine that if Lee thought that he had an opportunity for you outside of NYSIS even, I'm more than confident that he would go out of his way to make sure that because he's so good at identifying your talent, you get plugged in where you need to get plugged in with whoever it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, your scorpion video almost, I mean, it's like blowing up on our NYSIS channel. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Cause I mean, I still don't know much about scorpions, but gosh, those glowing scorpions you took videos of, it's amazing.
Yeah. So it started with a termite talk that I did for Arizona's Termite Academy. And I mean, I was so nervous. It was like one of the first talks I'd given on boric hair and the different treatments. And, you know, I grew up around pest control and you know, the industry, I suppose, you know, at a younger age. But like, I mean, I just remember my nerves were insane. And this guy, Billy from Zona Pest approached me after I gave my talk. And I always open my talks with, you know, my macro and like, hopefully I can make a connection there of like, hey, I'm a nerd. Some of you guys out there are probably nerds as well. You know, give me the benefit of the doubt. And Billy walked up and he was like, Chaz, like, dude, you have to let me, you know, get you some scorpions to take photos of. I would love to get some close-up stuff. I'd love to get you in front of it. And I was like, is this guy being genuine? You know, like he doesn't even know me, right? And he's, you know, talking about how interested he would be in, you know, taking me out and stuff. And now this is when I first entered the market. I didn't really know anybody from Arizona yet. You know, I was still kind of learning folks. And he's like, dude, you know, let's go scorpion hunting sometime. And I was like, dude, listen to me. Like, I'm in a hotel tonight. I'm in a hotel tomorrow. Like, I have nothing to do. Like, at night, I should say, I definitely have stuff to do. Sorry, if you heard that, Lee, like, I'm working, dude. But I have nothing to do at night, right? I'm just in a hotel. He's like, well, we usually go scorpion hunting around 8, 9 o'clock. You know, is that too late for you? And I was like, dude, I'm getting crazy. Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm trying not to look too nerdy while I'm talking to this guy. And Billy's like, all right. He's like, when do you want to do it? I was like, let's do it tonight. He's like, okay, let's go. And so started with Billy, Travis with Nice, you know, took me out a couple times as well. And so now I make it a habit each time that I go to Arizona to get a scorpion hunt, you know, down. We took the folks from Syngenta out with us on the last one we did. And we took the folks from Syngenta out the last time we went. That was a blast. But the amount of networking that you get and the return on those scorpion hunts, right? You know, for everyone listening, you know, we have a budget. We have things that we can and can't get away with expenditure wise. And scorpion hunting is essentially free, right? I got to pay for gas to get there, right? But I get 2 hours, you know, I'd say on average to go hang out with a PMP, talk to them about, you know, my passions, their passions, learn about their business, learn about their family, share, I mean, bucket list memories with folks, you know, like it's easy to forget Chaz when you come by my booth and I hand you a coaster or a koozie or something, right? And then you walk away and, you know, all the flyers I just handed you go straight in the trash, right? But you're not going to forget Chaz Scorpion King, right? And I'm not going to take that mantle yet. I hope to deserve Scorpion King someday. But you just, that level of networking is kind of what I've been chasing since I've been around, even before I was in pest control, to be able to connect with people and not be, you know, the sales guys that's calling you every week and, hey, man, are you ready to make a decision today? Hey, I know that you said you needed to talk to your wife. Like, I hated being that guy. And I mean, even today, you know, I still have a job to do. I have a family to feed, obviously, you know, and I've got sales to make. But I feel like it's much easier to make suggestions to your friends than to sell to strangers. Mm. And scorpion hunting is just one of those things that started as a part of the passion overall for pest control and sort of evolved into me now having a priceless networking opportunity with folks.
That's awesome, man. So one thing I had been thinking about, Pest World is in Florida this year. And I was like, man, I'm going to get Chaz. We're going to go to like the swamp and we're going to find some crazy bugs and take some videos of them. What do you think?
I'm all about it. They have ogre spiders in Florida, and I would love to get some footage of ogre spiders. I thought you were going to say gators. I was like, I'm not.
No, I'm not about gators.
Hard pass on the gators, man. Yeah. I've seen what happens near Disneyland. I don't want to be a statistic. But yeah, no, that would be amazing. And honestly, like Julie all the time is sending me ideas like, hey, you know, why don't we look at doing like this type of hunt, or, you know, maybe we should create this content. So, you know, I think Charlene out in Florida would be our Sherpa and could probably guide us some pretty cool stuff.
That'd be awesome to do. So I know you were talking about being a little bit nerdy. So speaking of nerdy. So you've branched out and been like creating like networks with PMPs with video games.
Yes. And so that was framed a little different. I want to make sure I make a distinction here. Right. So I have been networking a ton online, specifically with, you know, other nerds and gamers. And I say nerd to me is a term of endearment, right? Like, you know, some people use it as a derogatory term. I do not. I'm a nerd. I love being a nerd. I will never not love being a nerd. Different types of nerds, horror nerds, sci-fi nerds, you know, video game nerds, right? Book nerds, you know, but all under the same basic demographic. But Marcus Scruggs, actually, and then a few other of, I mean, his coworkers, and then just friends that he's met kind of over the years. Created a Discord, and Discord is it's sort of like a social media platform that allows you to live chat, you know, text based, voice chat, video chat, and then, you know, create a forum, if you will, of ongoing running topics. You know, they've got off the clock kind of areas, they've got on the clock areas, but they have something that I've never seen replicated in our industry, and they take advantage of a very key part of our industry where I think there's been a massive opportunity. The average technician, right? What are they doing on their day?
I guess, I mean, they're driving around in a truck.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
I was like, well, they do a lot.
No, absolutely. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess the part that I'm trying to highlight is that they're basically on an island for 8 to 10 hours a day, right? They're, unless they're training, there isn't anybody else in their truck, right? There isn't really anyone to talk to unless they have a problem. They have to call the office. And I won't get into the inner office technician politics, you know, because it gets kind of spicy there, but they're alone. And so this platform gives technicians from all over the country an area to log in, ask questions, get feedback immediately, almost. I mean, for the most part, there are entomologists that are in there. There's, you know, manufacturer reps. There are all types of just tenured, you know, pest control veterans that are in there to support. But that voice chat is what they really have. And I think the camaraderie and the amount of friendship, and again, just goes back to the networking aspect of being able to talk to other PMPs, you know, not holding, like we're all hands free now, right? With the headset on, with an earpiece, and just go about your day. You can hear their flow zone, their Birchmeyer. You can hear them talking to customers. Hey, Mrs. Jones, I'm going to be inside in the next 10 minutes or so. I'm going to finish the up the outside. I'll tell you what we did out here, and then I'm going to be in there. So you can hear like the real life conversations that are happening. You know, you might have somebody who has a sales objection they can't overcome. And so they run out to the car real quick and go, oh my gosh, she asked me this question. You know, how do I close this, right? All of that direct feedback is insane. And so I think it's probably, I don't want to say it's the best kept secret because it's not a secret, right? I advertise for it. You know, the members in there advertise for it. But I think that they've got the correct niche in their pest control runs congruent with nerddom, right? And so not only are they in there as pest control technicians, but they're in there as enthusiasts of, you know, sci-fi, horror, you know, mini wargaming, video games, you know, movies in general. And again, books, bugs, you know, is probably one that I should have said first. And so over the last couple months, there have been some opportunities to sponsor, and, you know, NYSIS graciously, you know, has kind of blessed some of these events as trialing this new frontier. Again, you know, trying to figure out where the industry is headed, right? What's the best way to get our product in front of people, right? And I don't say that disingenuously, right? I'm not saying that I joined this because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, leverage my relationship in there. Again, I'm going to go back to the fact that I definitely have a family to feed, right? And so if there's a need, I'm going to try and fill it, especially if somebody asks me a question. But the friendships I've built, I mean, again, you know, going back to like Marcus Scruggs, the gentleman that created it, you know, watching his legacy start to just kind of unfold. I mean, he's really on chapter one right now. Shout out to Marcus. I am ever grateful to be part of that group. And honestly, you know, not that I'm trying to give away the sauce, but one of the only manufacturers in there. So I would invite, I mean, all manufacturers, I mean, anybody that wants to come in, no one is turned away, you know, obviously come in with a genuine intent to come and hang out. We don't want it to turn into a sales group, but it is so much easier to walk in anywhere, you know, whether it's a customer's office, whether it's a seminar, whether it's a trade show, and have a few friends in the crowd that are there to give you these opportunities and say like, hey, you know what, Chaz is a solid guy, you know, I trust Chaz. And I would say that if I had a larger budget, I would pour way more resources into LTK. License to Kill is the name of the Discord, because I really and honestly believe that what they have is the future of pest control and how our industry is going to communicate. For years, I mean, we've had like pest control experts worldwide. I mean, the most popular one is the obvious one, right? Pest Cemetery. Everybody knows that group. I mean, and Jerry Shepard runs, I mean, an absolute phenomenal group on Facebook. If you're not part of Pest Cemetery, you should be. But I mean, I think they're up to like almost 20,000 members. So if you're watching this, you probably are a member. But if not, I mean, great opportunity. But I've talked to, I mean, younger technicians, and they're like, dude, I don't even have a Facebook. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? I'm old now? What do you mean you don't have a Facebook? I have a Facebook. What are you trying to do to me, man? Like, yeah, I check Instagram every now and then, but really just Facebook is just not something I'm interested in. And so, I mean, you're starting to see some of these platforms that aren't evolving with, you know, what the next generations want, like we've kind of gone back to. And so we've sponsored tournaments, you know, for online shooters, right? Like video games to see who can squish the most bugs, right? We try to keep it pest control related. We did some mini war gaming competitions in Texas, actually 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we did it on Warhammer 40K, which is, you know, if you've ever seen 40-Year-Old Virgin and the guy's got that like giant magnifying glass and he's trying to paint it, right? Like I said, I'm a nerd. I'm shameless, right? We did a painting contest there. I think we had 35 people show up to that event. And dude, I've been to distributor meetings that didn't have 35 people. And I've hosted meetings as a distributor that didn't have 35 people. And so, you know, when you look at your reach and you look at, you know, the dollars that you're spending, I'm finding that I'm getting much better return on these new experimental kind of avenues. And I told, you know, Jim Sparks is my boss, obviously. I've told Jim, you know, like, hey, one of these is going to flop eventually, right? Like it's, you're not, you know, don't tell the rest of the team that it flopped. You know, there's 100 people there, you know, but, you know, one of these ideas is just, it's not going to work, you know, but I think that we're in a transition, not only in our industry, but at these individual companies where there's a changing of guard of, you know, dad or grandpa passing the business on, or, you know, whoever their successor might be, right? And with that, the next generation is coming in. And I think preemptively, you know, we need to make sure that we're getting ahead of how to reach these folks. And, you know, gas isn't getting any cheaper. Flights aren't getting any cheaper. Hotels are probably about the same. But just, I mean, anything that involves transportation, right? And as a manufacturer, we cover a ton of space. And I think that Discord has 350 people in it. Again, like I said, Pest Cemetery. You know, there's probably, let's just call it 40,000 members of these individual, you know, as a cumulative number, Facebook groups. So I'm finding that I get way better reach when I make, you know, a silly, this house ain't going down, right? And then, you know, somebody, sorry, they're making me laugh. Somebody, you know, has those words stuck in their head and they go like, oh man, like I got to tell Chaz that I saw that video the next time I see him, or, you know, while I was driving home, Chaz, you know, I had that song stuck in my head, or I've played that thing 3 times. I had a few people call me even, you know, Chaz, can you sing? No, I absolutely cannot sing. I heard that somebody said that the video I made was AI. And while the music itself is AI, I wrote the song and I shot all of that footage. That is actually me. So, you know, again, it just kind of trying to work through what the next frontier is. And who knows, it may not be those frontiers. I could be dead wrong about it, you know? And I'm glad to be part of a company that enables me to take these kind of chances and calculated risks is what I'll call them. And I think that's what Lee and Jim would recognize as well, is like, hey, you know, we don't really know as much about this sector, but we trust Chaz to kind of push into this with, you know, as much caution as he needs. And so far, you know, License to Kill, LTK, the Discord, all of the events we've sponsored have netted results. And I'll be honest, my hopes were very low for a lot of those events because, you know, it's never happened before, you know? Yeah. And so like, if I get even, you know, 1% return on that, I'm happy because we're kind of pioneering it. But each time there's been great results. I've got to spend, you know, whole days sometimes, or even maybe just a couple hours one-on-one with PMPs, or, you know, 3-on-1 when we're at a larger event. And so, yeah, I think that portion of marketing is here to stay, and I'm going to keep venturing in there and seeing, you know, how I can leverage my nerdiness and connect with other people, because, you know, again, there's a really specific demographic in pest control. And while everybody kind of falls into it, the folks that stay, I think, you know, it's not just a paycheck for most. It's a passion, and it becomes a career and something that they enjoy doing.
Yeah, definitely, man. So there is definitely a new generation that's coming up in the professional industry. My generation was kind of on the cusp of like the video game, and like, because I, you know, when I was a kid, we had Atari and it went to Nintendo and we had just progressed. And now we're to the generation where it's so ingrained in everyone. You know, everyone, I don't care who you are, pretty much everyone that's like a Gen Alpha, you know, Gen Z are video gamers at some point. They've played video games. And that's such a great way to connect. Because, I mean, you know, you think you got your phone in your hand all the time. And there's games on there. And there's games that are social on there also. And it's just, I don't know. I'm a nerd. I didn't want to go on a video game tangent, but I was about to, so I'm going to stop there.
I think you're exactly right. And do I play mobile games with pest control operators? You know, all kind of stemming back to that Discord I was talking about. But I would way rather play these games with people I know than complete strangers. And so, yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, video gaming is so accessible these days. The entry cost for entry is you know, your cell phone, right? Maybe $5 or $10, depending on the developer, right? It's really starting to come on. When I was in high school, you know, I didn't like advertise the fact that I played, you know, World of Warcraft, right? Or other video games. You know, if I came across other, you know, other nerds, I'd be like, what's up, dude? How's your gnome, how's your mage going, right?
Yeah.
But like, I didn't advertise that at all. You know, nobody, unless, you know, they were like-minded, knew that, you know, it's kind of like a down-low thing, right? Now it's so common that like you're almost a nerd if you don't play games.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like my daughter, you know, comes home and has like all this new slang, and you know, she's decent at Fortnite. She's 8 years old. Like,
yeah,
go figure, man. But again, I'm so excited to see what that next version of marketing, networking, you know, just connecting with other people and building relationships looks like when it's so fueled by what our industry is already interested in.
Yeah. And another thing you said that I really love is the fact that, you know, on the Discord, if you're on like an IRL chat or whatever, where you're talking, you know, you said people could listen, you know, you're chatting with people, but you're also doing your job, which is great. I mean, if you do run into a problem, there's someone right there you can just bounce stuff off of.
Oh, yeah.
And that's awesome. That's something that, I mean, I don't think, I mean, would have been a thing in the past, you know, especially before cell phones.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely you couldn't just like be out there working and it's like, oh, I've ran across this weird insect I've never seen before. I need help. What is this? You know, but now it's as quick as, you know, hey guys, you know, I'm here. What is this? It's like a pink bug with like yellow spots.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, as a collective, we all get better and learn together, right? And so when somebody has an issue and they bring it up, you know, it's almost like a mastermind think tank without even being one of those groups, right? And so every tip, every ID, every application recommendation gets added to our, you know, library and index of knowledge. And so it makes everyone together, right? You know, the high tide raises all ships, you know, and
yeah,
that's kind of the way, that's the general vibe in that group as well. Because, you know, and again, no disrespect, I'm not trying to throw shade at, you know, the other online platforms, but it's if it's not monitored and moderated, I mean, there are a lot of trolls online.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And so in some of these Facebook groups, you'll ask a genuine question and you'll get 30 unserious answers of like, you know, what kind of bug is this? And like, oh, that's not a bug, that's a rat. And you're like, so funny, man. Yeah. I'm really in a place. I need an answer quickly. Yeah. Right. And so sometimes weeding through and filtering through all of the bad answers, right, is it's extra work. It might turn you off from that, you know, type of education, and you may be a little less likely to ask that question. But at an LTK, you know, I keep using that name, in that Discord, I mean, you don't really see a lot of the keyboard warriors that hide behind their screen and troll. You know, that's that person's voice giving you direct feedback, like, hey, you know, this type of insect, they're caused because of moisture, and this is how you remediate them, right? Yeah. And, you know, I'll say that, like, how do I say this copacetically? Management may not always like to see that, you know, because I think a lot of times they want that to come back to them and stay in-house, right? And I would say that that's not an incorrect point of view, right? Because I would want to be able to train my technicians my right way as well. But I would also say that the majority of users that we have do invite their management to come in and kind of learn and kind of vet the information, if you will, and see if it's something that they think is beneficial to their technicians. But I could see, you know, upper management, I suppose, not being able to like control the information and then kind of QC that way, because you want to keep a consistent training regimen as a brand sometimes, right? Especially larger ones. So I will just, the only reason I try to clarify that is because it's not done maliciously, right? It's,
yeah,
you got to go somewhere, you know, I've made the phone call before and you get the voicemail and you're like, gosh, what do I do? You know, and then you got to make your best judgment call, and that you no longer have to, you know, wait for somebody to call you and sit in your truck. I mean, you can go, and honestly, for the most part, you're going to get a really qualified response in return. So,
yeah, man, that's awesome. So, real quick before we get off here, if you don't mind, just tell everyone where they can like find you and follow you with all your cool photography and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the most common, you know, Chaz Estrada. There aren't too many Chaz Estradas out there, you know, coincidentally. But I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. You know, if you try and add me on one of my personal accounts and I don't, you know, respond, I probably thought you were like a bot account or something. So just shoot me a message and I'd love to connect. We ran our Nyband special where we were doing the private label for everybody. That blew up. I think I heard that we did 3,000 containers in the last 60 to 90 days, or gosh, it may not even be as long as that. And that all happened because of my Facebook and connecting with people online there. And, you know, the wonderful support from our office staff, you know, shout out to Alicia and Holly. I mean, they really made that possible. And I'll close, you know, with, you know, definitely try and connect with me. That'd be awesome. I'd love to meet you. But I would just like to say that, like, I mean, every one of the employees at this company is here as part of the team. And it's why I signed on with NYSIS. And, you know, when Lee brought me out to Tennessee to kind of vet the company, which is an insane thing to say out loud, like, who am I to judge whether or not I should or shouldn't work at a place, right? Like, the resounding, I mean, just overall, I heard it everywhere I went, whether it was marketing, logistics, warehouse, sales, admin, regulatory, no matter who I spoke with, and I had probably 12 meetings with folks from all over the company, the mirrored response I got every time was, Lee Barrett is the absolute man. I would do anything for Lee. Lee is the reason that I, you know, he kind of connects this vision that every member of this team has, and I'm not going anywhere. And the tenure here, the average, you know, employee, I think it's got to be over 5 years. You know, I was one of the newest reps. Now we've got, you know, James Rodriguez. We've got, you know, Javi was here a little bit before me. But the retention at this company is insane. And the amount of admiration I have for the general attitude of every person here, you know, I mean, Ben, who's sitting over there very quietly and not interrupting, you know, Brittany, she's you know, being quiet as well. But the, I don't want to call it support staff. That's what our industry kind of knows the back end as. They do support us, but I mean, each member out here has their own really important job function, and this machine would not run as well oiled. For anybody that's still waiting on shakers, I apologize. It's probably a mistake that I made because this team is so well oiled. But I'll tell you, the amount of times that somebody asked for a mock-up or proof of their Nyband shaker and it came back an hour later, I've never felt like more confident talking to a customer, because that's the level of support that I want to give, and I can give it to them because our team, everyone here is on the same page. And,
yeah,
you know, Jason, I you know, you're here. I don't want to, I'm not just saying this because you're sitting next to me, but, you know, yourself, you know, Ben, Julie, you know, our entire marketing staff, you know, I think that we have a really clear vision, and I could not be more proud to be part of this team. I could not be more proud to be part of this podcast journey that you're taking and see what this becomes even in, 5 years, you know, the next 90 days, I bet you it's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, what this grows into, what this company grows into, and we have a ton of exciting products that are coming out. If you're going to be going to Pest World this year, I would love to link up, you know, come say hello. Don't be a stranger. I'm a little nervous as a person. It's weird because I'm a sales rep and, you know, I'm supposed to be naturally outgoing, but, you know, if I look like closed off and, you know, pensive, that's just because that's who I actually am. And I generally don't like people when I'm outside of this job, right? I just keep to myself. I'm a super homebody. But, you know, please come say hello, meet the team. You know, it's really cool that you come and meet your rep and, you know, connect with them, but meet the all of us. I mean, we're all, you have so many different characters and just wonderful people that you can meet at NYSIS. And I can't say that enough. It's the reason that I signed on with this company, because I just, it felt like home. It felt like a place that I could put roots down. It felt like a place I could retire from. And I, again, you know, I've said this probably three times already, but I could not be more proud to be, you know, a NYSIS employee and part of this journey, because I think we're on a rocket ship, dude, and this thing's getting ready to break the atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, man. Also, I'm going to say, if you're coming to Pest World, I would love to do a remote podcast there. I tried that last year, and there were so many meetings and stuff, I just couldn't get to it. But this year, I definitely will have some time, and I would love to have you on the podcast. You can reach out to me at jasony@nysiscorp.com, and I would love to talk to you about maybe, you know, coming on. That'd be incredible.
Dude, I mean, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
And for anybody who thinks that's not, he's being serious. And I've heard Lee, I've heard Harry, maybe really any of our reps talk about doing like tours of our facility. I mean, that's another thing that they offer all the time. We're being genuine. We want you to see what we have going on. We want you to see what the future lies for us. And we'd love for you to be part of that journey. And so please reach out to Jason. We would love for you to be added to, you know, what we're trying to create here.
Guys, I want to thank you so much for joining us again on NYSIS Nation. And just remember, tune in every 15th of the month. That's when we drop an episode. So guys, also like, share, ring the bell, all that. And we'll see you next time on NYSIS Nation.